Need a man who's got it made, always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah, they don't want them a good man.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing good.
That's
What the
good.
hell?
Why
Why
not?
not? Why not? Jinx, buy me a Coke. Listen. Wednesday. I actually like Wednesday. I like Tuesdays, but Tuesday is a very busy day for me. I have to go to the clinic. I have my group at night, which I enjoy, but it can be hard, you know.
Long
It's
day, yeah.
garbage day. It's all the stuff I have to do on Tuesdays, and I'm just glad when it's over.
Garbage day, that's a big commitment in your day.
Well, when you have no arches and you're driving
Right.
and it's slippery, if anyone was watching me, they'd think that guy was, is he thinking of Mount Everest? Like, you've seen, wait, it's this little curve, and I get halfway down, man, and I can't stop. I can't stop. I have a broom. I'm balancing myself. I'm trying to hold on to
Right.
the rock. I got the can. Like, it's awful.
The simplest, potentially the simplest of little things turns into an arduous task.
I never knew how important your arches were, but I can't grip,
Yeah.
man. I can't grip. I can't
Give,
put myself down. So,
for those of you out there that have arches, give thanks for those today.
yes, thank you. Thank goodness for your arches. I miss my arches. I used to think my favorite arches were the golden arches, but I just miss my arches.
There you go. There you go.
I used to go by McDonald's when I was a kid, and I would scream, "Hoff, Hoff, Hoff!" And it's because they were hot. The French fries were
Oh,
hot. So I
off.
used to give them to me, go, "These are hot, these are hot." So I just thought that's what it was. So,
Off.
Hoff,
As
Hoff,
opposed to David Hasselhoff, who's
Hoff.
also
The Hoff.
off.
Oh my goodness.
How
So
are things? Yeah, here we are. How are things on the West Coast or East Coast weather? West Coast, East Coast weather-wise, it's snowing here. It's kind of cool and windy, but it's good. It's December now. We're all of a sudden in the home stretch for Christmas. It comes on so fast. It's like 3 weeks away now.
goodness, it's coming fast. Like
Always does.
fast. I love Christmas, as you know. I'm a Christmas spirit's not coming this year yet. I usually comes pretty naturally for me. We got the house decorated. We're putting the tree up this weekend. I think it's, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I think it's Ava. It's our first without Ava. Ava would literally pull open Christmas presents. She'd open them with her teeth. She'd pull them open for you, and
That's
she
fun.
loved Christmas morning. She would just go ballistic for an hour and then go pass out. Like, she just loved it. So, I think we're thinking about her a little bit, but the weather's been okay. We had a little bit of snow. Supposed to get some snow tomorrow. Are you up? Like, I was talking to our buddy Dave up in Washego, and they've been hammered with snow. Like, have you?
We didn't get that. That was it's amazing in Ontario. You could be, 2 hours south. I mean, they literally got like 3.5, 4 feet of snow. Like, it was
Oh yeah.
insane. We got a light dusting. So
Wow. Because he was
yeah.
like, he Dave is the kind of guy that always goes out for work. He always is going, and like, he got snowed in for a day. Like, it was
Oh yeah. No, the roads were closed. People complain about the weather and the predictions a lot in Ontario, but because we're in the realm of the five Great Lakes, apparently it's one of the hardest areas in the world to predict the weather because a lot can change in a matter of hours. So, cold wind, whatever, it's a nor'easter or something coming from, comes across the Great Lakes and all of a sudden it drops 4 feet of snow. I'm not even sure they were predicting it, and then there it was. So yeah, it snowed from, it's like you said, it's Wednesday. It started, I think, last Friday, and it snowed for like 3.5 days. And so certainly if you're not in the mood for Christmas, that might put you in the mood for Christmas. I think as
Yeah.
Canadians, we like the snow, and it's kind of this whole white Christmas, Bing Crosby and all that stuff. But
Oh, I love that movie and that song. But yeah,
yeah.
like, listen, I like white Christmases, and we Moncton used to be the snow capital of Atlantic Canada, and we've had a couple green Christmases. The weather is definitely changing. But
Yeah, for sure.
right about those snow squalls off the Great Lakes. I mean those Great Lakes, I don't think people understand how big they like the Edmund
Yeah.
Fitzgerald. I actually we all know that great song by Canadian legend, but I looked into the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I mean, it was crazy. Like
Yeah, I don't really know the details. Leonard Cohen, though, right? Yeah.
no, not Leonard Cohen.
Oh no,
Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot, sorry, yes.
I always remember on Seinfeld, Elaine said, "You know, remember the it was the wreck of the Gordon Lightfoot by Edmund Fitzgerald."
Yeah. And then that's the one where Kramer all of a sudden has written a book on nautical disasters or something, remember?
Yeah, George, there
George
was
uses it.
George is trying to get an apartment, but
Right.
some boat crash or something, and George
Yeah.
died.
That's yeah. Oh, you survived that when it took 8 hours to sink or something. Yeah, that's a
Then
great.
George says, "I'll tell you my life. My time is over. They're all set. They're going home."
They're
Like,
crying. Yeah.
we won't talk Seinfeld. I could talk it, but I was thinking about. I watched one the other day. I think it was my favorite episode. It's when they thought George was dead, and Steinbrenner calls his parents.
Oh my God.
His old lady,
So good.
how could you trade Bruner? What are you thinking about here?
Yeah.
And
So good.
then Jerry finds out he's alive and goes, "Shouldn't you tell your parents?" And George says, "Ah, they could use the
Exactly.
break." Oh my goodness, what a good show.
My favorite of all time.
And it's aged well. It's still funny. My goodness.
So good. So good. Yeah.
We should do a whole
But we
podcast.
do have a topic other than Seinfeld today. We
Oh,
could do
okay.
Seinfeld. Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's a bit more serious, but not really.
Depends how you look at it.
Right.
The topic I had originally came to you and said, you know, I'd like to talk about the lack of purpose, like the lack of purpose in life. I'm feeling a little lost these days, and
Yeah.
kind of changed the topic now to finding purpose, you know, to be a little more positive,
Yeah.
and kind of spin it a little different way.
Took a
So,
positive spin on that.
yeah. So what? As far as definitions, what are you defining this morning? What's the
Yeah, well, I'll start with purpose.
okay.
So purpose is simply the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists.
Yeah,
Yeah.
purpose. There's everything has a purpose. A lighter has a purpose to light a cigarette. I mean, food purpose.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's.
there is. Yeah. And then I did put in life's purpose, but there's obviously a lot into that. So a life purpose is a vision for your life that's based on what's most meaningful to you.
Yeah, it was based on what's meaningful to you.
Yeah. So that
I think we
there
get lost thinking, living what other people think of us instead of what we think we should be doing. I know I have.
Well, sure. And of course, a life purpose or just a purpose, for us as human beings can change and evolve over the course of your life. I mean, when I was a teenager, my life's purpose was to chase girls and look for the next best party, right? I mean, it was a simple life, but
No, but it was important.
hedonistic to some
It was
degree, but well,
important. It was at the time. I mean, as young men, I mean, our hormones start acting up and we start looking at girls. I mean, if we're straight men, I mean, or
yeah.
if you're a gay man, you start looking at a guy, whatever it is,
Whatever. Yeah.
start getting interested in the other sex or the same sex or just sex, period. And
Yeah. Yeah.
I was the same way, man. When I was.
Fast cars, whatever. I don't know. Getting a job, making money, be able to buy a few things. That was my purpose for a while there,
I
for
bought a
sure.
Harley and I looked at girls and smoked a little weed. And
Yeah.
I remember I was happy if I had 20 bucks, I'd buy a pack of cigarettes, a pack of peanut M&Ms, and a Coke. in a glass bottle. And if I had
Life.
those three things, I was good, man. I was
Life was totally sorted out. Everything was good. Yeah.
all I needed. Yeah.
There's and again, you know, we talk about it. Certainly, it's an evolution, and you know, they go on to talk about it goes on to talk about you know, how to find your life purpose, right? You know, identify what you care about, reflect on what matters to you, recognize your strengths and talents, you know, creating a vision of ideas, an idea of how you perceive, you know, what your life looks like, you know, exploring your interests. So, you know, there are lots of ways to kind of figure out what your life's purpose is. And you know, I think it's the thing about a life's purpose is it's almost sort of always, it's almost kind of always in the future. You know, there's something that it's like you're striving for it. And so, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit today about how like you can arrive at your life's purpose at moments in your life. And then that changes, that shifts, and then all of a sudden, oh, your purpose might be something else, right? I was thinking about examples of it this week, and we missed last week. We had a guest lined up that, or some other people, and that didn't happen. And so then we were kind of on the fly, and sometimes that doesn't work. So here we are again. But I was thinking about, I don't know why, I've always been into mountain climbing. I've read a number of mountain climbing books, and I was thinking about Sir Edmund Hillary,
Yes, yeah.
who I think a lot of people would know who Sir Edmund Hillary was. He was credited with being the first person to
Everest.
summit Everest.
Yeah.
There is some debate about whether he was actually the first one to the top, but anyway, he got the credit. So, like, you know, I was thinking, like, was that his life's purpose? Like, did and then when he got to the top, what does it feel like to all of a sudden, you know, achieve your life's purpose? Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm at the top, and then what? And then you.
Apologize, we had to take a quick break. I had something come up.
That's okay.
I very rudely interrupted my partner, but I liked what you were saying, sir. So Edmund Hillary is
Totally.
credited with climbing Mount Everest, but you said was that his life purpose?
Yeah, I mean, and who really knows? I don't know the man. I've not read any of his books or whatever, but you know, I'm sure that it was an all-consuming thing up to the point that he arrived there at the peak, and then all of a sudden has to find himself coming down. I mean, I know that he spent most of his life kind of talking about it and going back to Everest, but it just begs the question of, you know, when you do have a very defined, specific life purpose, when you actually reach it, what does that feel like? And you know, these are some of the questions that you know, I think we wanted to kind of debate today. And I'll just shift a little bit because, I mean, part of this conversation started, yeah, you recommended the topic. We were looking for a few topics, but it happened to correspond with the fact, and I'll use this as my recommendation for today. But I've been reading a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And I mean, it's an international multi-million bestseller. I don't, it was written in, sorry, talk amongst yourselves. It was written in 1959.
That's good. Nothing
So,
better.
I'll summarize it briefly. I don't think I'm giving away too much, but it's two parts. So he talks, the first part is his experience in concentration camps. So he was in Auschwitz. And yeah, I mean, it's harrowing, of course, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's graphic. I mean, but it is difficult, certainly, to comprehend and to read the experiences that he had. But he's a doctor and a psychiatrist, and he talks about his experiences there, you know, through his own concept of, you know, what the meaning of life is and a search for meaning. And he talks a lot about will. because he as because he is a doctor, he's actually allowed time in the infirmaries in Auschwitz, and he does help other inmates. And he literally re he realizes that people who have real like no sense of meaning lose their will to live. So he recognizes in certain people that if there's something outside of them, family, a significant other, a loved one, maybe a job, maybe something that they've been working on in their life that now has been taken away and you know diminished down to this kind of really simplistic form of existence, that if they have something that they can look forward to, that they can kind of keep on going. And he talks about how some people, you literally can see the will to live disappear. They literally give up. He's like, you know, maybe they have one cigarette left, and they get up in the morning and they smoke that cigarette, and they're just like, that's it. I am not going out into the camp. I'm not going to do the work, and I'm done. Like, that's it. And he said, you know, it could have either been a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and they were gone. They literally they lost the will to live, and they died.
Wow.
It was almost as though, and he's basically saying it was a conscious choice to just give up.
And on the other side of that coin, I've always been amazed at the will to survive.
And this is what he talks about as one of the search for me as part of the search for meaning is this kind of courageous will to survive. So he attaches three concepts to you know life having meaning. And so he argues that we're always free to choose our attitude towards life's challenges. And his three main sources of meaning are work, so like accomplishing something significant or contributing to others in a positive way. So that is one. The second one is love. And that's experiencing deep relationships and connections with others. And his last is courage in suffering, and that even in the most painful and difficult situations, you can find meaning in how you endure hardship. So those are his three ideas.
Wow.
So, you know, I think
Dealing with hardship is a funny way. I've
it is.
always had this, and it's not on purpose, but I find when I've got problems, and I always have problems, like most of us, mine are usually financial, but it has been health problems and other problems. I always feel like I don't have the right to be happy. Like I should be able to just say, well, I have this thought process where I was taught this by a psychiatrist. Well, you look at your problems in the morning, and if you can't do anything about a problem, you push it aside for the day. Well, I can't do anything. Can't if you can do something, well, do something. But if it's literally something, okay, I can't deal with this. There's nothing I can do. Move it aside. That's a great thought process. I can't seem to do that. So I'll be like, well, I can't just go off today and just watch a movie and be happy and laughing because I don't deserve to do that. I've got too much. I've fucked up too many things. I've messed up too many things that I don't deserve to be happy. That's a dumb way to look at things. I know, but it's hard to break your core habits, like habits that have been just instilled in you. You've done it since I've done that since I was a kid. It's like, and you get that sad sack mentality, and people don't want to be around you. I know that. No one wants to be around someone that's always fucking like the hero.
No. And we've talked about this on previous podcasts. We've talked about, you know, positivity. We've talked about kind of this one day at a time philosophy of, you know, just making the most of today. And really, again, that is like one of the central themes to the book is that even when we are experiencing suffering, real or perceived, right, that we have the choice to make the best of it, to sort of transcend it, and that part of that is there is meaning in that. So despite the fact that you are suffering, or feel you feel as though you're suffering, again, real or perceived, because a lot of the suffering that we experience is perceived in the sense that it's suffering that may occur or may not ever occur, right? Obviously, in this case, being in a concentration camp is an extreme version of suffering, physically, mentally, like just the torturous condition.
How do you even come out of that? How do you survive that and come out of a person? I don't.
Well, and that's what he's that is exactly what he's saying. Like he chose to find meaning in that suffering.
To see people treated that way, so not only see the suffering, but then see the hate and anger and the way that Germans treated them, and then to realize that not just 6 million people died. Hundreds of millions of generations wiped out, kids and grandkids that were never born, like families, like and it just.
Yeah, of course. But he chooses to find meaning in it in the sense that he actually he pities some of the people that are the leaders in the camp, because he realizes that ultimately they're being guided in a way that may not be in keeping with their own true values, I'm sure in most cases, but he pities them and actually sees good in them despite this kind of horrible condition they're in. And I think we've talked about that, and I think that I agree in the sense that I think that there is inherently good in all people, right? That may get that of course through conditioning, through life, through whatever's happened to you may get blurred, but at the core of all people there's good. And I think also that at the core of all people, that all kind of existence, there is this sense of doing something good. And that is kind of in that whole meaning of life, like, and finding a purpose, is that at some point, like, whether it's even just something good for yourself that may help others, that we're always kind of striving for something inherently good or loving.
I think you're right. I mean, I think there's been exceptions, and like Hitler and Gaddafi, there's been a couple evil people. I know we're not talking about that today, but I know that lately there's been some support in the States, like for Hitler, and there's been talk of, I mean, the Nazis, not only were they terrible in what they did, they were also losers. Like they lost. Like that's why I get such a kick of these people that go, oh, look, I'm a Nazi. Yes, so you want to be a loser. Like you got your ass kicked in the long run. And you did horrible things. I can't imagine wanting to be anything to do with them. Like it's the worst. Anyway, but purpose, it's amazing you've gone down that. That's a really good way to start this podcast, because that is, if you can find a purpose in life after coming out of Auschwitz, and when you said he pitied them, that's a neat way to do it, because that gives you power over them. Because all of a
It
sudden
does.
you're getting tortured and whatever else is going on, and but you're looking at the guy and going, oh, I feel sorry for you, man. Like you're pathetic. And that's a neat way to take your power back in that situation.
Well, there wasn't much left, right? And they were, it was basically, down to really just a look, just a physical body, a little, some clothing and your mind. That is really all that they had left, right? No possessions, no nothing. So, it kind of, and the three meanings that he takes from it. Work, I think certainly in today's society, we really attach a lot of who we are to what we do, right? And I think in that, unfortunately, a lot of that has become sort of, we work, of course, we work to support ourselves and have a home, and but some of it ends up being sort of material things and possessions and things. So, there's a lot in that. But love, I thought, when to find a meaning in just love. And he talks about, the love that he has for his wife, He doesn't know what's going on with her. Of course, there's no communication. They're not in the same camp. Men were often separated from women. And so he has no idea whether she's alive or dead. But part of him, it keeps him going that she could be alive and that the love that he has for her, gives his life meaning. So even, even with you and your wife and your long marriage, you've been together for so many years, to sort of extrapolate from that, that your purpose in life could just simply be to love Shonda. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That warms my heart to if you said to yourself today, my meaning in life is to love Shonda, that is wow, then I am doing that. I have found my meaning in life.
That's amazing. You're right.
I thought about that this week as we were talking about that, and I think that's a really beautiful thing to reflect on,
It is.
isn't it?
It is because you know what? I was writing down some notes for this podcast this morning, and I wrote some things how my purpose has changed because when I was a young, I became a father so young. So my purpose was to bring up my kids. Grew up taught, but the best, as you told me, the best I did the best I could. But it was my
Absolutely.
purpose. My purpose was I had my boys and my wife. I had to work. I had my father, mother for a while, and my sister. And we but then we got empty nested, right? My kids left, and we were both lost. Like our purpose was no, our house, our basement wasn't full of them and their friends anymore, and the music. Like our house was full of kids all the time, and all of a sudden it wasn't. They all went off and got married. They've all done well, all these boys that were part of my life, including my sons. But listening to what you just said, my purpose is still here with me.
That's so awesome, eh?
It's been 35 years we've been married. We've been together for 37. And I love her. I text her every day and tell her I love her every day. I text her. I tell her I love her before she leaves. I tell her I love her when she gets back. And I mean it. It's not, I do love her. Sometimes it's almost scary how much I love her. Like I love her so much. It hasn't faded. I don't know. And I've been with her a lot longer than I was with anybody else. Like, I mean, at some point when you get married, like you still think of yourself as as a kid to your parents, right? You've been with them the longest. But I mean, I left my parents when I was 20. I've been with her for 37 years. I've been with her a
So
lot longer than I have been with.
I thought that was really nice to reflect on. And then, just to touch on the last one, the courage and suffering. And I think it's very real to say that pretty much every human being suffers in some point, in some way, shape, or form. They talk about birth being difficult, suffering, death. I mean, all these things. He points out that you can find meaning in how you endure suffering or hardship. And we've been we've both talked about some rock bottom moments. We've talked about addiction and how that was really a form of our form of suffering. I'm not going to compare suffering. Of course, my suffering is my own. Other people have suffered much more than I can ever imagine. But there is something in enduring suffering, and when you can come to the other side of it, that really does feel very purposeful. It's like, okay, I got through that. And now I'm working on myself. I'm working on just being a better person. And there is something in that that could give you as an individual. And it's a sort of a selfish thing, but it can give you meaning, certainly for yourself, to say, oh, I suffered, I've gotten through it, and I'm better for it. And so I think, again, we don't. It started the conversation. I think it's a great book, and I would certainly recommend it. He's a psychiatrist, but I did, of course, as I do, I went on to kind of get into the question of life's purpose and how that's been presented in very different meanings in different philosophers, different people that have discussed it over time. So I just want to touch on a few of them because I think that they're important to kind of understand. And I think in doing a dive into some of these philosophies on the meaning of life, you can kind of get some ideas of where you see yourself in that. So, you know, these are concepts that have come from Nietzsche, Jean-Paul Sartre, Freud, you know, many different people that have conceptualized the meaning of life, right? So I'll touch on them. I'll touch on a couple of them, and we can just kind of, you know, discuss what we think about this. So one of the main ones is existentialism, right? Existentialists argue that life has no apparent meaning or purpose. Instead, that individuals create their own meaning through choices, actions, and experiences. How do you feel about that one?
So life has no meaning, it's just what people make of it.
Right.
That's probably true.
You think that you like that one?
I think I do, because we're not all just given that when, like, okay, here's every human being's meaning of life, now go make that happen. That's not true. Everybody's meaning of life can is so different. It's so different.
It is. It is.
Some people would look at 35 years of marriage as hell and would never want to do it, you know.
Right.
Whereas I never felt that way. So, yeah, I want to
Right.
be someone else's
But
person.
doesn't that make you feel like, well, if there's no meaning or purpose, then what am I doing here? Like, what's the point of all this?
Yeah, I guess. I think then we get into religious thoughts, right? Like, I mean, like a lot of people's purpose of life has always been following God and like, you know. Especially in the old days, I think religions fade a little bit nowadays, not completely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always felt like, you know, if there wasn't a God, man would have invented one anyway. Like, I mean, like
Right.
that
Right. Well.
they've always, we've, and I feel like it's because it gives people a purpose just to believe that there's something after life, because when life is really hard, you
Yeah.
always think, well, my reward's going to be in the next life.
Right.
And I've struggled with that because I kind of feel like religion, I'm not anti-religion. I am spiritual. I'm not sure exactly what I believe, but I feel like religion was invented a long time ago because they took everything from people. They taxed people to death. They tortured them. And then they, okay,
Yeah.
we can't threaten them with anything because they have nothing left. So let's threaten
Yeah.
them with the afterlife.
Right. Yeah, I get it. And it, look, this one comes up too, but let me just go back to existentialism because there is something in it. Like the point is that although there is no inherent meaning or purpose, and it like they're basically saying that the meaning of life isn't given to us, but is something that we create for
I
ourselves.
agree with that.
Yeah.
Because
Okay. Well, here.
it isn't given to us, is it? Like, what's given to us? I
So
don't.
yeah, I mean, it's basically, yeah, what they're saying is there isn't a predetermined purpose, right? And I agree with
I
that
agree.
too. I mean, I
Absolutely.
don't think
I never thought
predetermined.
about it, but I agree with it. First time I've
Yeah.
heard it. I've never heard that before, but I agree with it 100%.
So the next one is nihilism. So this is Friedrich Nietzsche and Soren Kierkegaard. Okay. Nihilism suggests that life has no inherent meaning, value, or purpose.
No.
Okay. And it's the rejection of universal truths of or the inherent meaning of life. It leads to a call for individuals to find or create meaning in a meaningless world.
No, I don't agree with that.
No, okay.
Not that first part. I mean, life has no meaning or purpose.
No inherent
We're
meaning,
give, I don't
value,
think we're
or
given one, but I think
purpose.
it is one to find, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that too. The next one is theism. So that is the religious purpose.
Okay.
So these are the you know, this is Christianity, Islam, Hinduism. So this is the idea that life's purpose is understood as being a bigger part of a divine plan. Humans are seen as created by God or gods, and our purpose is often framed in terms of fulfilling God's will. So Christianity, life's purpose is to love and serve God and others and to seek salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. Islam is that life's purpose is to worship Allah, live righteously, and prepare for the afterlife.
Right.
And Hinduism is the purpose of life is to fulfill one's dharma, which is your duty, seek moksha, which is liberation, and then achieve union with the divine, which is brought Brahman. So these are all like life has a transcendent divine purpose, and fulfillment comes through devotion, service, or spiritual growth.
Yeah.
You agree with some of that?
I believe that happens a lot.
Yes.
I know I was brought up that way as a Christian, and we read our Bible and I prayed to Jesus every night. And that's the way I was brought up. And I still find myself when I'm in a foxhole, I still become a Christian pretty quick. When bad things happen in my life, I've had a couple. I won't talk about them. We've talked about them, but there's a couple bad things that have happened in my life, and I dropped to my knees and prayed just instantly. Didn't think about it. I don't know if that's a belief or just a habit. I don't know. I was just did it.
It's one of those things that if you've ever done it, it does come fairly automatically. I know I think we've touched on it, but like whenever something really bad is about to happen, like if you're driving on a snowy road, as it's snowing today, and all of a sudden somebody breaks and you just hammer on your brakes and you're sliding, and you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. There is something like inherent that there's like, why am I saying, oh God? There's something in that, I think. And I mean, we've talked about a return to love in a few different books, that certainly follow the concepts of Christianity, that talk about Jesus Christ, that talk about living a life of love, which, for all intents and purposes, is kind of the common theme in that book. Obviously, a return to love, and so some, again, it's hard when you get specific into religious versus spirituality, but
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
theism,
So no.
humanism, and this was the key thinkers on this one are Aristotle and Immanuel Kant. Humanism emphasized human dignity, reason, and the potential for personal growth. The purpose of life, from a humanist perspective, is to lead a fulfilling and ethical life, contributing to the welfare of others and advancing society. Humanists believe that individuals can find meaning through creativity, learning, and working toward the common good. So the core theme of it is the pursuit of happiness, knowledge, virtue, societal progress, with an emphasis on human autonomy and responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of goes along with all the other ones. I mean,
It does.
that kind of puts all the responsibility on us. I do like that. I don't want to say anything controversial or demeaning because I don't feel that
No.
way, but I do feel sometimes religion can be a cop out when you put everything on your religion and
Yeah, of course. And
it's
in
personal
humanism,
responsibility.
yeah, in humanism, there's no religious context here. There's no reference to God. There's no reference to a higher power. So I don't know. I mean that you're right. I mean overall the concept of it is fantastic. Human dignity, reason, personal growth, the
Yeah.
sure.
It's too bad we weren't all humanists. I mean, you think to get really out there, but you imagine as human beings, if we did nothing but get up every day and just in the service of other human beings. No war, no hatred, no,
No.
all we thought about was
No.
making sure that everybody in the world had food and shelter and we took care of each other and we didn't spend quadrillions and trillions of dollars on nuclear weapons and bullshit and borders and we didn't worry about these lines drawn on a map like, oh, well, you're below this border, so you're a piece of shit and I'm up here, so I'm great and don't cross my border. What are we talking about? Illegal immigrants. What are we talking about? They're people.
I
They're
know.
just like you and me. They were just born in the wrong country at the wrong time. And but that blame lands on their leaders who are doing things that are driving them over here. I get that. But I'm talking about them too. I'm talking about if we didn't even if there was no concept of hate or meanness, or you imagine if we weren't born with that, no jealousy, no anything. I mean, I'm not that. I'm a jealous person. I mean, when I was young, my wife, I was so jealous. Oh my goodness, I was jealous. Like, I mean, and I've also been very bad at What's the word when you want what other people have? I guess jealousy, but
Envy, I don't
envy.
know.
Envy is what I'm thinking of. You know, like you're like, oh, that guy's got more than me and all that, right? But you know, we talked about this week. You gotta, when you start feeling that way, you gotta start thinking about the people that wish they were you. You know, I
Yeah,
can't
we did.
remember
We
going, oh
did.
my God, I wish I had this. I don't have this. And then I'm sure there's people say, well, I wouldn't mind having your house and you got a couple
Yeah.
cars and you got a wife and you got kids and you got a job. And you know, like, what are you bitching about? I remember years
Yeah.
ago, I was feeling this way years ago. And my buddy from Springwall said, holy shit, man. Like he said, when I grow up, I've always wanted to be you. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, are you kidding? Everyone likes you. You're cool. You got a motorcycle. You got a great wife. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I can't even see my own backyard, man. Like,
It's all perspective, right?
it
It's
is.
all perspective.
I know. And then, but I think what happens is, as addicts, is that we have caused so much pain. I'll speak for myself. I've caused so much pain to my wife. That I think I do start feeling like I don't deserve to be loved. And I remember saying to my therapist, oh, my wife, there's no way my wife could love me. And she looked at me and she said, Sean, everything you've told me, and she's still with you, I think she loves you more than anybody's ever loved anybody ever.
Yeah,
You know?
absolutely. We've talked about that. And going back to like the jealousy and the envy, like those are, I don't know, those are insecurities and some of the envy and it's like material possessions. And I was thinking as I was reflecting on this as we, last couple of days, when they oftentimes when you see interviews of people that are, older, maybe you see an interview of a lady who just turned 103 in the nursing home and they ask her like, oh, what's the meaning of life? And what, if you could tell somebody, what your philosophy is, most of the time, they're not going to say, oh yeah, the meaning of, or the, the meaning of life, oh, is to own a big house or drive a nice car. It's usually about love. It's usually about family. It's usually about community with people. It's about being kind. It's about, at the end of the day, like these are the only things that you can sort of take with you. You can't take anything with you, that you
No,
collected in life. So
nothing.
when it comes to this kind of life purpose and what is it that is important, it comes down to really simple things like that,
Really does. I mean, I had, we always celebrate at the American Thanksgiving in this house. So Thursday, we had a turkey and we watched football, and all my family was here. There were six of us here, my kids and their wives. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought after, yeah, the turkey was good, but it wouldn't have meant anything if I was sitting there by myself eating that turkey.
Of course not.
It doesn't mean anything without someone to share it with. It really doesn't, you know. And I know a lot of people, and I'll defend my father a little bit on this. I'm not really defending him, but he was always scared to death to be alone. And made a lot of decisions based on that. You know, got married again quick, had kids. They kept having, and I think it was because he didn't want to be alone. And I get it. I don't want to be alone either. So
I don't think anybody does.
loneliness is a
I
bad. I'm dealing with some people in my group right now, and it's really hard to encourage them because they're alone. So I've got to tell them, well, don't drink, don't use your thing, be positive, be that. And then they leave group and they go home by themselves and they're hopeless. And they're like, well, what do I do? You know? So we're working on it. But I just know it makes it very hard when they're alone, you know? It's
Well, and I think you can, take that exactly what you're saying as far as like a meaning for life or life's purpose. A lot of personal satisfaction can come from certainly helping others and making a positive impact and being part of a community, building relationships in the community. I think there's a lot in that, and I think that this kind of making it on your own or being alone, there's no satisfaction, there's no purpose in that. If you were just on an island by yourself and you built a great fire and a hut and all, like what for what? Like I mean, personal safety, I guess, but
no, and
interesting.
You said something about pain earlier too. Like, pain is so personal, right? It doesn't matter if there's people suffering more than I am. It's not my suffering. My suffering is my own suffering, right? And your suffering is your suffering. We
Of
know
course.
that. We've talked about that. But I just think too, sometimes I get very what's the word? My goodness, since my strokes, I've lost half my vocabulary. I do it in group too. I'm trying to say words and I'm just like, that thing with the thing. But it's very existential what I'm thinking, I guess, is that you imagine there's 10 billion people in the world. Okay. Imagine how many billions have already died and how many billions are yet to come. How big this planet is. I remember the first time I went to Toronto. I'm a small town kid. I went to Toronto the first time when I was 19, and I was just like overwhelmed. There was just so many people, so many people. And I remember thinking how small I felt and how unimportant I felt in that big city. I got back home like, oh, back here, I know the guy at the grocery store and the corner store, my neighbors, but we really are just a speck. And when I was feeling suicidal, I thought about it. I thought about the fact when I look out my window and I see the cars going by, my neighbors walking their dogs and everything happening. If I'd have gone through with it, thank goodness I didn't. But if I had, or just say I get killed, the world just keeps on trucking, man. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Dogs still walk by, the cars still go by, the planes still go overhead, Chris Cope still living his life. It nothing changes except I'm out of the picture. So you got to realize that our purpose really isn't affecting the world too much.
It could.
Then there's guys like Trump, he's affecting the world.
It could negatively or positively. There's no
Yeah, I
question about
think it's a negative, it's my opinion, but I guess with me, I'm affecting a little part of the world. Like,
it.
yes,
Absolutely.
if there'd be some people that I think would be upset if I wasn't here. But it's not a huge effect on the world. Did you just sneeze?
Sorry? No.
Oh.
The cat's at the door.
Oh, I thought it was the cat. I couldn't figure what it was. The cat's got a purpose. It wants in the door.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm just out there right now, but I purpose is a funny thing. Like, and they said the lack of purpose. I was looking up a few things to see if it agreed with what I thought. And lack of purpose does lead to depression.
Of course it does.
And they say the way to fight that is the ways we've talked about. Stay in touch, be active, face your fears, eat better, exercise, avoiding drugs and alcohol, like all that stuff helps with depression. That's why I think when it came to you and I said lack of purpose, because I have a hard time with my purpose. And I think it comes from, I've done the same job since I was 19 years old. So I've been married since I was 19. I've done the same job for night since I was 19. No wonder sometimes I think I've don't know what my purpose is because I've lost the passion for my job. I'm still doing it. I'm still good at it. I don't think I let people down, but I know when I go to do it, I just don't have the passion I used to. Like I walk in the store and they're like, "Can you train this new kid?" Yep. The old days, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, new kid to train. All right, I got you, buddy." This time, I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'll do it."
And look, we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. Life, purpose changes. It changes. And I think for everyone, no, not necessarily for everyone. I'll speak for myself. I think that there comes a point in your life where you kind of start to question that. You're like, okay, well, what is it that I'm here for? We talked about that on fear on the fear episode. I was like, fear of like not just leaving a mark, but then the mark doesn't have to be like worldwide. It could just be on a few people, and that's enough. Even if just that day that you called me and that we had that conversation and that we're doing the podcast, could, I mean, the theoretically, of course, that could in its own way just be the purpose, right? Like there could just be one small thing that you. I think sometimes we look for this big thing that we're like going to change the world until we realize maybe we're not. And then, and we can sort of like beat ourselves up in that. But at the same time, it's like, who knows what the future holds? I don't know whether there could be something that would happen in our lives that may be a significant change. But I think again, like just accepting that I'm at least trying to have, be loving, be part of a community, affect a few people around me in my life, and that is enough. It doesn't have to be a big, huge purpose, right?
And maybe we've done more than we've thought. Maybe someone listened to one
Exactly.
of the podcasts and it helped save their lives. We don't know. Like, who knows? Or maybe
Exactly.
the podcast in 3 years from now is national and people are listening to it and we're affecting people. We don't know yet. We don't know yet.
No, and that's why that kind of the idea that it kind of may always be in the future is an interesting thought. And there's a couple more. I'll just touch on them because we're getting along. But one of them that was interesting because we were kind of touching on it a little bit is philosophical hedonism. So Epicurus was one of the key thinkers on this one, and hedonism suggests that the purpose of life is just to seek pleasure and avoid pain.
Now we're getting somewhere. Fine.
Right? But
I'm a hedonist.
it's
Yes.
like, I mean, I think hedonism almost has a negative connotation in a way. It's almost like narcissistic selfishness. The philosophy is that you should just maximize pleasure and minimize suffering with an emphasis on long-term happiness through personal commitment and tranquility.
But I think you're right. It has a negative. Like, look, I think of Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean,
Okay.
basically, he does movies and then he lives on a yacht and he's surrounded by young girls and he always has a young girlfriend. Basically, they're 25. He gets another one under 25. And a lot of people point the finger at him, say, well, is he ever going to settle down? And blah, blah, blah. Like, George Clooney finally did because he was a big batch. And like, but why is that a negative thing? If he's not hurting anybody, the girls are coming on their own free will. I'm sure they're loving the time on the yacht. I'm sure they're loving living with the movie star, even if it's only for a few years. And he's enjoying himself and he's got the money and the wherewithal to do it. I don't know why everybody thinks he's doing anything wrong. I mean, who's he hurting? He's
I
not hurting.
don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't
But
know.
people do
I
have
don't know.
a negative connotation on it.
It
I feel
sure
like,
does.
because I think it feels like, I think as young men, we're all kind of hedonistic. Like we
Yeah,
want.
or women or whatever, but
Yeah,
yeah,
but
there's a
I'll
certain
speak for myself.
element of
Like, you
that.
want women and you want to have fun and you want to. I used to party when I was younger. I thought I was what I wanted. It really wasn't what I wanted, but I thought I did.
It's a bit
But
shallow, but
I think we feel like I think as a young person, you can get away with it. But I think as a society, we kind of feel like we should outgrow that. Like, you should.
yeah, and look, these are all just philosophies. Yeah, it's like, okay, some people believe that this is okay, and then some of us believe that we have to suffer, right? It's like, I don't know who's really to say which is right or wrong, right?
Maybe it's a mix of all of it. Who knows?
Well, and the a couple of the last ones, Buddhism, of course, and you've read what was it? The Seven Truths? No, yeah, Seven Truths of Buddhism. The purpose of life is to achieve enlightenment, which is nirvana, by overcoming suffering. I don't know. I mean, we suffer and then we try to get past it and then we try to find enlightenment. So that was one of the kind of the last one. There are others. Evolutionary perspective is one where Charles Darwin, that says that life's purpose can be understood as the continuation of the species through reproduction.
Well, we have to live part of that or we wouldn't reproduce.
Of life, yeah, is to reproduce and ensure the survival of one's genes.
Yeah, I think that's a
Yeah.
natural thing. I think that's the reason we're attracted to the opposite sex because we have to reproduce, we have to procreate, we have to go forth and be fruitful, like we have to do it or we wouldn't be here. I always get a, I know you don't have kids, but I always, and I know you like kids though.
Of course,
It didn't happen for you for whatever, for various reasons. It's not a bad thing, but I just
No.
know like my son doesn't want to have kids and I don't, that's all good. But if everyone didn't want to have kids, like we wouldn't have kids. We wouldn't have a society. We would be done. Like we have to have, you got to want kids. It's got to be a some of us have to anyway, like, or we wouldn't have, if no one wanted kids, we'd have been done thousands of years ago,
So you're buying into Darwinism or evolutionary, you're
Yeah, a
buying into
bit of it,
that
yeah.
one. Yeah, you buy into Buddhism a little bit, I think,
I do.
too.
I think I buy into all of it a little
You're
bit.
buying into hedonism a little bit, all
Yeah. Human,
right?
the human one for sure.
Yeah, humanism.
And the one, the second one we talked about
Oh yeah, nihilism.
nihilism, I believed in. I didn't believe so
Yeah.
much in the first and the third.
Yeah, and there was one that I didn't mention, and it's Well, it's quite obscure, and people will have heard of it. It's called absurdism. Albert Camus, who was a French philosopher, and it's closely related to existentialism. It's that life is inherently absurd because humans are constantly searching for meaning in a universe that offers none. Camus argued that we should not succumb to despair, but rather embrace the absurdity of existence. We can live with full awareness of life's lack of inherent meaning, yet still find joy, purpose, and fulfillment in the present moment. So the core theme is that accepting life's inherent meaninglessness and creating one's own meaning in defiance of it.
I actually like that.
Absurdism.
I
So
like that. I'm an absurdist.
you become an absurdist.
Well, I'm laughing, but I like it because it's like, okay, life doesn't have a meaning, so don't worry about it so much, but just
Right.
meaning in your own little life.
Right.
Maybe my meaning is like, I like to get up really early in the morning and make my wife a special coffee before she
Yeah.
goes. I put
Yeah.
sweetener and cream and eggnog, and I take it after 8 and melt it in her coffee, and I
Yeah.
shake it all up, and I love doing that for her. It's my own
Yeah,
little. I
yeah.
take her bag out. I make sure her car's good, and this is
Yeah.
the way I start my day. And I hate, doesn't happen very often, but once in a while I might sleep past the 7 o'clock or something, and she's gone, and it breaks my heart. I can't. I'm
Right,
so
right.
that I didn't do it for her,
You've lost a portion of the meaning in your day.
I have. It's the way I
Yeah.
start my day. It makes me feel good,
Yeah, yeah.
and then I like when she gets home, and but a lot of times I'm off working and I don't get to see her. But I my life is definitely wrapped up around my wife. There's no question. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, we talked about it. Your meaning of life could be loving Shonda.
Shondanism.
Yeah,
Well,
Shondaism.
her middle name is Joy. So,
Oh, there you go. Joyism.
joyism. I'm
You can
joy.
start your own you can start your own philosophical
In praise of my little wife.
for joy, yeah, joyism.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? This has been a bit of a different podcast because I feel like we haven't really narrowed anything down, but I think that's the whole purpose of what we're talking about. The purpose of life is too big a question. I don't know if there's no way to define it down to one answer. You've just written off
It is.
things, and I've agreed with
It is.
everything you said.
I think that, if I was going to kind of summarize what this is about for me, and I've been doing it a lot lately, and I've mentioned it on other podcasts, it's like, you know what? Live a day at a time, appreciate what you have, accept what you have, do your best, be loving. We touched on the cats here. We touched on some of the kind of the reasons for meaning of life, and making a positive impact on, just maybe somebody at the grocery store. I don't know,
Well,
just
you say
pursuing your own passions.
chivalrous thing. Like I try to do, I always have, but I've been really focusing on it. Yesterday I was out quite a bit, and I opened so many doors and held doors, and man, you get the biggest smiles and thank you. A little girl would punch you, oh, thank you, like, and
Yeah.
it's amazing how doing little things people
Yeah.
appreciate. People that aren't smiling, they're walking up like her, and you go up the door like, oh, like they're just blown. And you know who I find it works for me personally even more? Is when I do it for men.
Yeah.
These big guys
Yeah.
coming up the gas station, and you go, oh, here you go. And they're like, oh, thanks, man. Like, because they're just
Yeah.
not expecting me to do
Yeah.
it for them,
Yeah. Yeah.
I think women get it done more for them. That sounds probably sexist, but I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's a chivalrous. That's somewhat chivalrous.
Yeah, it's a different thing, but I, you know what? I don't know. I'm trying to find a meaning in my life, but maybe I don't have to find a meaning so hard. Maybe I've already got my meaning, Maybe
Yeah,
my
I
life
think that.
has meaning. I just think it should be something else. I have my wife, I have my friends, including you. I have my
Yeah.
podcast, I have my
Yeah.
group, I have my
Yeah.
job, I have my
Yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
I'm devilishly handsome. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've got a lot going for
Yeah.
you. Like I think that and that is it's nice to just kind of summarize it up like that, in that, everyone is an individual. We're all kind of here as a collective, kind of just going through things as the best we can. We all have a different purpose somehow. Some of us are going to be absurdists. Some of us are going to be hedonistic. Some of us are going to be, theologians. Some of us are going to be nihilists, and but it's all okay, and we don't all have to have this kind of concept or be beating ourselves up if we're not doing like something that's incredible. If we're just like,
No, and I think we have to. I think I'm going to end with this. I think I really believe this is the meaning of life has to be what you decided is and you do.
of
Because
course.
I have spent way too much of my life worrying about what other people think of me. I mean that what other people think I should be doing and what other people think if I'm doing enough or if I'm doing this or I'm doing that. You know what? I told you this a while ago. I really am doing my best right now. It may not be what someone else thinks is my best, but I'm telling you. With my mental and physical state right now, I'm doing my best. I want to do, there's things I want to improve, but I'm not, I try not to hurt people. I try not to be a bad guy. I try to be a decent guy. I don't know. I don't know what else I can do. I only, and I've said this to you lately too, there is no past. The past doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's
The past
gone. It
is
means
in your
nothing.
mind.
Start of our podcast was a half an hour ago. It doesn't exist. It's right now. It's
Well, it's recorded, so you can listen to it. But yeah, it's true. My meaning in life right now is to pet the cat and make the
hospital
cat happy.
train, man. Well, okay, I had to pause the podcast because I did something by mistake. I'm hoping that because I press pause, it'll still come out as one recording. Because if it doesn't, I do not have the technical capability to figure out how to post it. But anyway, maybe I'll have to
Let's
post
hope for the
one
best.
and two.
We're doing the best we can, and I
Exactly.
think today was good. We did, we shared some different ideas. We
Yeah.
maybe lightened a few people on some of the philosophies for the meaning of life, and I think it's just good to open doors and try new things every day, and just figure out what your point is here,
Well,
and maybe don't beat yourself up so much, right?
I do think that the point of the podcast has always been for me is not to say, here's what we know, you guys listen to us. I think it's, here's what we're thinking about. Here's the questions we're pondering. Maybe you should ponder them too. Maybe you'll hear what we're saying and maybe you'll think about it too. Maybe you'll get you on a thinking path and you'll have some conversations about it or something. That's what I've always kind of hoped for. I know I don't have some brilliant mind that's going to say, oh, here's what I know. Listen, I think it's just that. I think it's just to, maybe get people thinking a little bit. So
Absolutely.
the and to appreciate this amazing world that I can sit here and talk to my buddy in Tottenham, 1,000 miles away, and have a, like, we couldn't have done this 10 years ago. It didn't exist,
It's amazing.
But that's another part of the world that's changed so much is now we have this big world because when we grew up, our world was our neighborhood. It was just our neighborhood, the friends that lived around us, the school we went to. It didn't. I didn't talk to people in Ontario. I didn't. There was no way. It was impossible. Your world was so much smaller, right? So, and social media has changed things so much, and new 24-hour news channels have changed things so much. I mean, news has become an entertainment form. I don't think it's even factual anymore. The whole world is changing so fast right now, and I think you gotta just kind of, like tie a knot and hang on, man. Like, I don't know. It's a wild ride.
Slow it down. Slow it down. Just live.
But I think if you focus on your little world, I think you'll do better.
Agree.
I gotta focus on what I got and what's going on. So
For
right
sure.
now what's going on is I have to pee.
Okay, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing.
Right, man. Well, have a good day.
Right, you too. You too, enjoy. And yeah, well, my recommendation, I know I didn't I'm not putting you on the spot, but Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl.
Thank you. I do have a recommendation. It's a TV show that I'm really enjoying. It's on Apple TV. It's called
Oh
Shrinking.
yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I find it heartwarming. It reminds me of Ted Lasso a little bit. Ted Lasso, whenever I watch Ted Lasso, which is one of my favorite shows, it always made me just feel good. I
Oh,
find
for
the
sure.
show does that too. I find that when I'm done watching it always makes me think of a couple things and makes me feel good about just how humanity is and life and how to handle things. So anyway, if you're not watching Shrinking, I suggest you watch it. It's a good show. So
Perfect.
all
All
right.
right, man.
All right.
Thanks for today.
Yeah, you too. Be good. And
You
I'm
too.
sure I'll be talking soon.
Okay, I love you, brother. Have a great day.
Love you, man. Bye,
All right.
Pico.
Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.